I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to the first edition of the Casey Woso Show. Is that what we're calling it, Cindy?
I think that's good for our first show, you know, for as we go on. Obviously, the team does not have a name or a brand that we can be like, oh, this is it. But I think this is good. I think this is good for
the
2021.
Show.
Yeah.
All right. For those who do not already know us, this is Thad Bell from the Blue Testament, and I am talking with Cindy Lara. Is that the right way to say it?
Lara.
I apologize.
It's okay.
Also from the Blue Testament, formerly from
RSL Soapbox.
Yeah. And she's been following and covering the team since they were in Kansas City shortly before they left, right? Mm-hmm. Last couple of years. And then while they were in Utah, where I kind of slacked off following them while they were in Utah, I will admit. A little bit of angst there, but we'll leave that behind.
Yeah. Yeah. And that can happen. I mean, your team moves out of market, kind of leaves a little bit of a wound.
No hard feelings.
Yeah.
But, we got to see them win a couple of championships here, and now they want to come back and win a couple more. So,
yeah,
let's hope they do. All right, so we haven't really, since this is our first one, we'll just kind of cover some quick news. Players that have been called up to camps so far: Desiree Scott, Diane Matheson to Canada, Victoria Pickett, draft pick, just got added to camp, and we'll see if she sticks for the She Believes Cup. Rachel Corsi to Scotland for a couple of friendlies, or I can't remember if those are friendlies or if they're actually real games.
I think they're part of UEFA qualifiers for Euros. Let me Google. I think that's what it was for.
I think you're probably right. And then the other player from Kansas City, Marianne Larroquette, and again, I'm gonna be terrible with names, so you can always correct me. She was called up for Argentina since they were the replacement team. They replaced Japan in the She Believes Cup. So it'll be one of our chances, hopefully, to see and actually really pay attention to a Kansas City player that we haven't even seen yet.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I can't honestly say that I've seen. Let me try to pronounce her name properly.
Yeah, I'm going to count on you for those things. I'm just telling you.
I want to say, because obviously my mom is, I have a Mexican side of me. Marianne Larroquette, but I could be wrong. But I think that's how you say it.
Okay, so please don't hold it against me when I mispronounce names.
It's okay. We can work on it.
You do. Please, yeah. Always try to correct me, but don't hold it against me. I'm bad with names that I grew up with. So, growing up in the middle of Missouri, I did not have a lot of practice for those kind of names yet.
All right. I got you.
And it's not out of lack of respect, because I really try. But all right, so anyway, she's called up. We'll hopefully get to see her in the She Believes Cup against the U.S., against Canada. And who's the other one?
Brazil, yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be a little bit of a South American rivalry there and a North American rivalry crossing over.
And that starts on Thursday, which I had to do a quick check on my schedule That's Thursday. That's the first game. That's the first game for all four teams.
Yep.
And then Sunday, another round of games. And then next Wednesday, which I usually this tournament seems to happen a little bit towards the end of February and then goes on until probably the second week of, no, I'm sorry, the first weekish of March. So caught me a little bit off guard a little bit because I'm like, oh, it's here.
Right now, the schedule is so jammed. It's like I'm taking things a week at a time. Just
same.
Yeah. And when I say jammed, we really mean we don't know if it's going to happen or not. So
nope.
So that's across every league in the world at this point.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm really interested to see if Victoria Pickett stays, though, if she sticks with the full team for the She Believes Cup.
Yeah, same. It seems like the Canadian team is very full of this young talent. So really good to see just what she has. And like, if she does get onto the full roster, obviously I haven't seen her play. I'm really bad with following the college game. And I usually don't know about college players up until they get drafted to the team I'm covering. So
I tend to watch a little bit of college soccer. It just depends on players and teams that I might have a specific reason to watch. Mm-hmm. You know, ones from Kansas City or ones that played at my daughter's club or things like that. So I did a lot of looking at her highlight videos and mm-hmm. found a game or two out there. It would have... And I got to see one practice for Kansas City WOSO.
Okay.
They had a little bit of media availability and I was able to watch. And I was the first thing I was trying to pick out was who I knew, mm-hmm. which players I knew that were there. There weren't a lot of them. And then I wanted to pick out the draft picks. And then I was trying to pick out the invitees because they're the ones that are, to me, are going to be like the real questions. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I got to pick out both Victoria Pickett and Addie McCain, which were the two draft picks there. And they both impressed me.
Good.
They both had good things about them. Victoria was, she was on the far side of the field from where I was at the entire time. So it wasn't as always easy to see her, mm-hmm. but she was moving the ball really well. She was playing wide. It was a smaller side, it was small field,
mm-hmm.
But she was just playing really wide. And then Addie McCain was playing very central, either a defensive mid or something very central. Mm-hmm. And she was very calm on the ball, getting the ball, playing it. I saw her make like zero mistakes. And it was a good experience and good opinion. And thinking about it, that's of the six draft picks that Kansas City picked up, that was draft pick number two and draft pick number four. Okay. That's not number one or number three. So we have, go ahead.
Yeah, no, pretty solid for if you were able to see something that impressed you too. And I know that the KC side did a lot of research for the upcoming draft, which the timeline they had pretty just shows that pretty serious and did their homework. And yeah, they had a pretty good draft.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think a lot of the national media didn't necessarily think they did.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'm influenced by having talked to Hugh and then some of their coaches since then. Because
mm-hmm.
Actually one of their coaches told me 2 weeks ago that, Pickett will be called up to the national team. That he's mm-hmm. like she'll be good enough to go up to the national team. It didn't dawn on me that he meant like the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
I thought like, it'll be like next year or mm-hmm. something like that. But yeah, I think it just goes to show like the coaches, how much in tune they were already in the game and watching it and stuff like that, even while they didn't have a team. So.
Yeah. And I mean, Pickett is, it looks like she has youth national team experience too. So she's played in the U-17 and U-20 World Cup. So she has some international experience even at the youth level. So I'm excited to to see if she does make the team for the game.
Yeah, even if she does, there's a very little chance she'll have much playing time, but
it's true.
It's just true. The way it is.
It's true.
But I think Canada seems to be a lot of very old players and a lot of very young players right now. I could be wrong. So, you know, I don't follow them as closely as I do the US, but it does seem like they have a lot of, you know, in the mid 30s players, mm-hmm. and then a lot of players are in their 20s, early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Yeah, I think they've gone a little bit leaning more towards the youth the past couple of years or so. We obviously know Christine Sinclair.
Yeah.
Desiree Scott, Diana Matheson, Stephanie LeBay, but they've made a shift definitely more towards the youth side. I feel like the U.S. does rely a little bit more on its veteran players. And I think Canada's making that shift of they're like, okay, we got to get the younger players more experience. So this will be a test for them for sure.
I do think the U.S., you'll see a few of the veterans leave the program over the next year just because mm-hmm. Vlatko will bring in more youth. And mm-hmm. he's the U.S. women are very political in the fact that you can't just like move one out.
Nope.
you'll be killed on social media. Your fans will kill you. It's very, very political in that regard and mm-hmm. very almost tribal about how fans mm-hmm. are about players. Like, you know,
for sure.
It's amazing. So I think you have to kind of gently do it. No matter, even if you wanted to like clean house, you would have to move one out now, one out 6 months later, one out 6 months after that. Mm-hmm. I think you'll see Vlatko do that with a couple of the older players that are not showing up and not performing as well. Mm-hmm. And, or maybe not even as good a teammate. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not going to name any names.
Nah.
That would just get me in trouble.
Yeah, it's our first show. We need to make friends.
controversy. Some people would go for all controversy. I just go for just speaking the truth what I think is the truth. Going back to Casey Owosu, they had a press conference earlier this week and, late last week. One of the things that Hugh mentioned was he was asked about the attitude and the mood and some other stuff with the team. And one of the things he talked about was that he had told the players coming from Utah that they had underachieved when they were in Utah. And he says it was a compliment because they're a better team. They were a better team than finishing 6 out of 9. And he has expectations for winning, for competing for championships. And that's finishing 6 out of 9 is not good enough. I kind of took it as he was reinforcing something he'd already told them, but doing it in the media. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they were that good of a team that they just underachieved? You know, was it, and if they did, was it coaching? Was it attitude? Was it, you know, they never performed in Utah that well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just the last year of controversy or COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just thinking back to the first couple of seasons under Laura Harvey, she was I've heard that she had this directive just to get like the best players she could just so they could make the playoffs. So she never fully had that opportunity to, you know, build into those younger players. And Harvey historically, which is ironic that she coaches one of the youth national teams now, but the youth, you know, building up players hasn't been like a forte that she has been known for. So yeah, they definitely underperformed because they were incredibly talented. They had Becky Sauerbrunn, they had Kristen Press for a good year and a half. And I mean, I still think back to the late 2019 season where they were in that top four. And then all of a sudden they just underperformed the last so games and then they got bumped out of the playoffs. So something happened along those routes, and could have been coaching, could have been a variety of factors. But then I think about 2020, and I think a lot of it was due to just what was going on with the organization. I think we saw it more towards the fall with everything that was going on in Utah. And so we both know how soccer can be incredibly mental. Yep. And so, yeah. And then there was a coaching change with Amy LaPelbit, who I was really sad that she wasn't able to come over to the Kansas City side. But, you know, I think for sure it had to do a lot of the organization troubles that was going on in Utah, and then just the changes, and that eventually just, I don't know. And there was player exoduses too along the way. So there was just a lot of factors that were affecting the players that was not related to soccer, which is unfortunate.
So I wondered that last year, because they Press didn't play last year, right? Becky, and O'Hara, right?
Yeah. So Press did not play due to COVID, and then she ended up with Manchester United. And then Becky Sabron was traded to Portland before the season even started, before COVID even started.
Yeah.
And then O'Hara's, she played in the Challenge Cup, but then she was kind of still dealing with an injury. And then she sit out for, she sat out the fall series. And then, we think it was due just because of what was going on with Utah at the time with the coaching situation. So, it was not the most ideal situation. And so I think it was hard if you're a player to be in a situation like that. You're watching your, you know, this club you're playing for kind of fall apart a little bit. And the head coach they hired is, you know, on administrative leave and then eventually terminated. So yeah, I don't think they had the consistency that they are now getting in Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the coaching will be much more enforced in quality, and the attention from the, and it's such a shame too, because I mean, when they moved from Kansas City to Salt Lake, you know, everything was about, oh, how great the situation is, the locker rooms and training fields, and they're treated professionally and they're treated just like the men. And then you find out what was going on behind the scenes after a couple of years, and it's just like, oh man.
Yeah.
I just don't have words, and the words I would use would not be appropriate. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Laura Harvey was shielded the players a lot from what was going on behind the scenes. But then once she left, there wasn't really that coach pulling for, or at least it just wasn't the same. And I think LaPelbit probably did try, but I mean, I don't know what happened with LaPelbit, but I know that she was there was this, it was kind of out of nowhere, you know, in like 24, 48 hours, she was like, oh, you're the head coach now. So.
Yeah. And I think she's probably just was put in such a bad spot that becoming the head coach and being in that situation and having a team that's not performing and having lost, you know, a top three of your top five players, we'll just put it that way, over the last few months, and COVID and all that other stuff. I had hoped that she would come here as an assistant under Hugh. I don't know. I don't know. I'm quite confident that he was trying to. In fact, I mean, I know he was wanting her to. I don't know if she just declined, or there was a money issue, or she didn't want to move back to Kansas City, or I don't know any of that.
But I think she when FC Kansas City folded, she moved to Utah because I think she has connections there, family and such. So I think that's just probably her home now that, I don't know. I would love to see Amy back in the coaching game. I thought she did, for the circumstances she was in, when there had the Utah, former Utah head coach, was put in administrative leave and she had to take over the team. I think given more time, I think that team would have been very different. But obviously you have four games to prepare for, and one of them is out of nowhere. Here you go. Here's the keys. Go lead the team.
Yeah, and nothing, what I'm saying is being critical of her in any way, shape, or form.
No.
She was put in a bad situation.
For sure.
I do have a lot of respect for her playing ability. When I've talked to her when she was here, she's very smart. And I think that given time, she would be a very good coach. So hopefully Salt Lake gets another team when they have a new owner and they can start fresh and have, perhaps Amy could step into those roles then. So hopefully,
yeah, that'd be really cool.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's see. What else were we supposed to talk about today?
We were supposed to talk about Okay, we talked about players coming into camp. You made it to one practice session, correct?
Yes.
What did you notice? I feel like Kansas City has a massive team right now for a preseason roster. They're what, up to 40?
It was huge. I know that I know that players have left and I know that players have showed up, but they won't tell me who, since they don't have to show us anything.
They don't. And I was going to look up to see, I think they have to reach a specific number.
I think next week they have to reach a specific number and they'll be headed to Florida.
Okay.
In a few days. I want to say the 19th maybe.
Okay.
And I think when they get there, they will probably release another roster.
Yeah. So am I just assuming that they probably won't take all 40 to Florida?
Okay. No, I don't think all of them are still there.
Okay.
In fact, I'm not going to say the specific name, but I saw one of them post on social media that it was a great trip down to Kansas City. Okay, it was done.
Which I think it's really hard for non-roster invitees to make an NWSL team.
Yeah.
I think there are a few, like Gabby Vincent in Utah. She was a non-roster invitee, I believe. Don't quote me.
if I remember reading through some of them, I think you're right, at least if I have the right person.
Okay.
Sidney Miramontes actually did last year of Kansas City, I believe.
Okay,
I can't remember if she was drafted and then left and then came back, but she definitely wasn't signed in preseason.
Okay,
because it was like a month or two into the season when they finally signed her. And that was because A-Rod went down in the first game and they were actually under the minimum roster number for quite a long time.
I think I do remember that.
And I do know that somebody sent several questions to the NWSL asking, aren't they supposed to have a minimum number of healthy active players on the roster? And after a couple of them were read, all of a sudden somebody was signed, and that was Miramontes.
Okay. Yep.
I may have asked a bunch of questions to the NWSL.
That's okay. So, yeah. But what did you think about what you saw? Was there anybody that stood out that?
It was hard to, because there's so many players that I don't recognize by face, and you know, they're not wearing numbers or names or anything at that point. You know, they all had the same jerseys on, but they are practice tops, but no names, not even a logo, because they're just too new.
Yeah.
So, and plus being socially distancing from people and all this other stuff, it was like, you know, I'm like, hey, Jeff, come here. Tell me which one's the draft picks. Okay, cool. And then I'm following them. And, you know, there's a few players that I recognized. But really, I was just expecting to be able to go the next week and see some again before the temperatures dropped down to 2 degrees. Didn't make it for, you know, any more practices because they weren't having any outdoor practices and no media at indoor practices. So, yay.
Yeah.
So really it was the draft picks that I focused on, and players like Lola Bonta. She's exactly what I remembered, you know, very like one moment smiling and laughing and joking, and the next minute flip a switch and very game face, like, okay, now I'm going to dribble through everybody. And, you know, it really felt like, because there was a lot of the non-veterans weren't, you know, the bigger veterans, I guess, you know, A-Rod and Katie Bowen and, well, none of the Canadians were there, you know, that sort of thing. They just, it didn't have that next level of competition there. So it was really, you know, the deeper parts of the roster for the most part. And there was a few defenders there that I just like, I took some photos and I could look them up and go, okay, and match their photo to their player and say, okay, now I remember kind of what they did, but I can't really just quote their names and stuff like that. That's why I go to practices, so I can learn all these people.
Yep. I think that's the best place to do, to learn some people. And I believe that was last week that we learned that Amy Rodriguez is back.
Yep.
Katie Bowen and then Michelle Vasconcelos. They've all fulfilled their protocols for COVID and are in training sessions now. So.
Yep. I briefly spoke with Amy last week also, towards the end of last week. So I'll have something out about that maybe before this. And she was very happy to be back.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it was kind of interesting because that day that I was able to be down there watching, a couple of the players who were in protocols and could not attend practice actually drove down and sat in their cars and watched practice.
Oh.
I won't mention who those players were, but they were ones I would recognize, or at least one of them. So I'll leave it at that, because I don't want to get anybody in trouble if they were not supposed to have done that. But to me, it showed the dedication of that, you know, they wanted to see how the practice was going. They wanted to see what was going on. They wanted to be involved even though they couldn't be. So I thought that was a nice positive sign, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool.
Let's see, the founding members, that's closed for people who joined as a founding member. So they'd be early access for season tickets and such forth. Have you signed up for that?
I did. Yes. And I believe founding members, those who made their $50 deposit, will have access on Thursday, and then those who did not will have an opportunity to, and this is for ticket season ticket membership deposits for the 2021 season.
Right.
Friday at 10 a.m. for the general public, and then the day before for those founding members. So that's exciting. That'll give some ownership to those who did, you know, invested in in that. Did you do, I'm assuming you did too?
Yes, sort of. I asked my wife, actually. I said, you know, do you want to sign up for this? And she's like, yeah, of course. I said, okay, do you want me to do it or do you want to do it? Just because, you know, because I'm not in the mindset of women's soccer is for women and men's soccer for men or anything like that. I hope, you know, as much as I've covered the NWSL, that's obviously not the truth, but I just wanted to see if she wanted to do it in her name or in my daughter's name. you know, and just to have that founding member be a girl sort of thing.
Yeah.
Instead of a guy. Yeah. So she actually signed up in her name, my wife's name.
Nice.
You know, I've been a season ticket holder for Sporting since day one, actually, since 1996. I'm old.
When they were the Wiz.
Yep.
The Wizards.
And even though I do stuff, you know, photos and stuff, I'm never in the seats. My wife and daughter are in the seats. So I thought, especially when it came to the women's team, that we should see and let them have the opportunity to be the actual name on the ticket instead of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That is cool. So that'll be exciting because they'll be playing at T-Bone Stadium, at least for 2021.
Kansas City Monarchs Stadium now.
Oh, that's right.
Which is kind of cool.
Are they going to change the stadium name?
I don't know. It's actually, I've always known it as Community America Ballpark. So I'm not even sure what the official name of the stadium is.
Oh.
But the team has officially changed. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. Which is kind of funny because Utah, their minor league, their USL team is the Monarchs. So.
Yep.
Kind of just funny back and forth.
I know. It is kind of that was actually one of the things I hated about Utah, naming them the Royals. I'm not a Royals fan. I'm not from Kansas City originally, so I have a different baseball team I root for.
Mm.
But I just thought it was a little bit of a cheap shot there. Mm. I mean, an unneeded shot. I don't even think it was necessarily intended, but it was an unneeded shot. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, apparently there's a rivalry with the city because SKC beat Real Salt Lake in the 2013 MLS playoffs. So,
yep, I was there.
Yeah, apparently it should not have ended the way it did, but I'm like, I'm sorry, just how it happened. It is funny because because of covering the team for the past 2 years in Utah. They're just so funny.
I think, quite honestly, a lot of cities are that way with stuff because I'm originally from St. Louis. Okay. I root for the Cardinals and I root for the Blues in hockey.
Okay.
And I root for Kansas City soccer teams because I've lived here for longer than I lived there. But I don't give up on teams unless they've given up on me. So once they've moved, then they're done. I'm done with them, which is a part of, again, why it was hard for me to root for the Utah Royals because they moved.
Yeah.
Right? I rooted for players because I still had a fondness and, rooted for those players. Mm-hmm. But it was hard for me to root for the team. I ended up actually switching to Houston because Shea Groom ended up there last year. So I was rooting for them. So it's not even a city hate thing. It was just the team. So, but going back to, I'm from St. Louis. So Kansas City hates St. Louis. It's like a sibling rivalry kind of thing. And one of the most painful things is now that St. Louis is going to have an MLS team is I'm going to hear this once, twice, three times, four times a year about this hate between the two cities that I feel I'm part of both.
Yeah.
So it's just going to really suck.
Yeah. Yeah. When do they get that team?
Well, it was supposed to be next year, but I think it was moved back one more year because of COVID and uncertainty.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Go ahead.
No, I said the great Becky Sauerbrunn is from St. Louis. So
yep.
I think it's a great city. do you want to talk a little bit about Amber Cox? I did tweet that I think this is great news. I think women should be not that should be, but it just makes sense. I mean, they should be, but I mean, just because you're a woman, you need to be. But I think it was a great hire. So let me just rewind that and say it was a great hire. And she has experience. She, I believe, worked with the Connecticut Sun and the whole WNBA. And just the feedback that I'm getting from those who know her, that's a really good hire. So I don't know if you've talked to anybody on the Casey side about it.
Not yet. Actually, I saw that earlier today and I have not had much chance to look into her history other than seeing some tweets come through about how she did great. Mm-hmm. So I don't know much, a lot about her. Mm-hmm. I will say that every hire that Casey Wosso has made where I knew the people in any way, shape or form, I thought it was a really good hire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she's the COO, I believe, the mm-hmm. Amber, mm-hmm. the team president, Jen, I can't say her last name either. So I've known her and I should say more been an acquaintance because I know we have like mutual friend. Mm-hmm. I've known her for quite a while, but and my mutual friend talked about how great she was.
Okay.
People that have known the owners, the Longs, have been raving about how great they were before they knew that they were getting a team. So it's, you know, and then I've obviously known Hugh, Goran Karazov, Lucas Rodriguez. I've known all of them for quite a while now, and they're all really good coaches.
Yeah.
So everybody they've hired has been quality that I know of. So I expect good things out of Amber, even though I'd known nothing about her yet.
Yeah. I mean, all the feedback I'm reading on Twitter is she's great and she'll do great. And it's good to have somebody with that much experience and not just somebody they just, you know, picked up off corporate America. Like she has a sports experience. So. Yeah. Yeah.
That's like for the NWSL commissioner, Lisa Baird.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a soccer person. I mean, I've seen people ask her soccer questions and she's clueless. But she's good in the marketing side, and it's what they needed. And they got more sponsors this year than they ever did before. They got more, they got a TV deal. And it's a shame that they didn't get it 3 years earlier. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All of that is helping the league grow. The sponsors help the players be paid more. The TV deal helps the players be paid more and get more visibility. Mm-hmm. So the more people you can bring in like that.
That's cool. We're definitely seeing more women break those typical men jobs like coaches and referees. And I think somebody for San Antonio Spurs for the basketball team when their coach got suspended, or I believe she coached, and I don't follow NBA as well, but
seen actually quite a few women pop up in Major League Baseball lately. Batting coaches, bench coaches, first base coaches, minor league head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's happening, and it's wonderful in that it's happening. So I fully support that. I just, like I said, I just want it to be at some point we go, this is the best player, best person, best coach, and go on.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so anything else we need to cover before I go finish dinner?
No, I think I'm excited for Kansas City to have a team back. And I think there's a lot of excitement. So that's really cool. And Angie and Chris are doing great. And it just seems like even the players are excited. I think a few times I read like, oh, how do you go from Utah back to KC? I'm like, listen, if those players will be treated well and respected and treated like professionals, they will play where they are offered those best conditions. And as we learned, Utah wasn't as great. And I love Utah, but, you know, it's people got to look. This is an FCKC. We got to move beyond that. And I mean, yes, Vlatko did a great job and they got those championships, but we know how mismanaged that team was. But
this is especially the last year.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a new day. It's a new dawn. And I don't know. I bet you're excited too, because you actually get to follow the team more. And, you know,
for me, more soccer, the better. MLS, yeah. NWSL, USL, indoor soccer, daughters, youth leagues, you know.
Yeah.
I'd be happy if I'm going to a soccer game every other day, you know?
That's true. That'd be really.
And cool. I say every other day because I need a day to like finish off some photos. And
yeah, I just like, wow, that is really involved. You do comments, SKC, And then now Casey Wilson. So you're going to be busy. You have a busy 2021 ahead of you.
Yeah, I hope so. Hope I get to go to all the games.
That's true.
With, you know, last year with a lot of, you know, sporting, some of the games being played in Florida, the USL team, you know, their sporting second team after COVID hit, they basically only had one more home game. They played all the rest of them on the road. I haven't went to a lot of the indoor soccer games lately because I don't feel like being inside with a lot of people.
Yeah.
I've went to a couple and I'll go to some more, but it's just trying to manage the amount of risk. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. Gotta survive this pandemic so we can enjoy soccer like we used to.
But see, I didn't feel bad about going to sporting game because, I mean, it was all, you know, outdoors and there was a few feet between us. In fact, I mean, you were like 5 feet away from me one day. And it was like, I wanted to say hi to you, but I didn't want to be like the weird, creepy guy. Like, hey.
Which is funny. Oh, sorry. Like after you left, I was like, oh, that's Thad. I know him. That was good.
Well,
was
because we talked before online.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But now we can hopefully actually both shoot some NWSL games and MLS games and have twice the amount of available photos.
For sure. I'm excited. So, it'll be a good year.
That's the one thing we need to avoid is standing in the same place talking while we're shooting, which is sometimes what I end up doing with other photographers. Not that, you know, they would be shooting for other people and stuff like that. But then you look and you see like, oh, they have the same exact photo I do. Like, I mean, so we'll have to avoid that.
We have to. Yeah, I think that happened to me in Utah a couple of times with Lucas Miller. And then eventually we're like, OK, I need to go get my own shots. So, yeah, that's how you get it.
All right, so let's just wrap up. So I'll go make some and let you recover from a long day of work and the frigid cold. So,
yeah, oof, hopefully 20s and 30s are coming. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
It's pretty sad when we're like excited for the 20 degrees coming up, I believe. I think midweek. It's been so bad. I don't know if you had to go outside today, but it was brutal.
I did not have to go out today. I went outside yesterday just for a few minutes and not because I had to, just because I was stupid.
Stay warm. Just stay warm.
All right. So hopefully anybody who's listened to this point, thank you for listening. And we will probably be better at this in the future, but no promises. But we're going to have fun doing it.
Yeah, this was good. I thought I had fun.
So, and we'll see if we can get some guests on too. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And thank you, Cindy.
Master Sergeant John DeSalm on the tenor sax. John DeSalm. Staff Sergeant Reagan Bruff on the composition.